With Laura Fox.
Podcast. Now, in February 2019, an Icelander, Jón Jónsson, arrived in Ireland for a poker tournament. The very next day, he vanished, never to be seen again. Where's Jón is a new podcast presented by Liam O'Brien from RTÉ.com One and Anna Marcibel Clausen, RUV, Iceland's national broadcaster. Liam and Anna, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Not at all. Thank you, Laura.
No, I'm like incredibly excited to talk to you guys because this is all my friends are talking about. Liam, I'm going to come to you first. Can you give us the basics of what we know about Jón Jónsson's disappearance?
Yeah, so just coming up on 6 years now, actually, in February 2019. It was the 8th of February, Jón left Iceland as planned on a Friday morning to come to Dublin for 10 days. He was going to play at the Dublin Poker Festival and he was going to hang out in Dublin, basically. You know, have a few pints, I guess, have a bit of crack. And his partner, Jana, was following him over. And the following morning, which was a Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, he walks out of the hotel, the Bonnington Hotel, walks over to the main Swords Road. If people know it, it's the main road between Dublin City Centre and the airport. Mm. And literally, he vanishes. And that is the last time anyone has seen Jón.
Anna, I'm just going to talk to you for a second because obviously from our end, because this happened here, it was everywhere. But how much profile did this get in Iceland when Jón went missing?
Well, let me start by saying I don't actually hear Liam at all. So
oh, sorry.
Repeat anything.
Sorry. Liam was just saying, he was just explaining to us about Jón's disappearance and about how he walked out of the hotel room at 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning and then it was just never seen again.
Right, yeah. Well, in terms of Icelandic coverage, it was really big right away. Mm. It's definitely always, you know, big news when one of our own goes missing. I say one of our own, we're not even 400,000 people.
Yeah.
We're a very small, very tight-knit community. So, yeah, that's always big news whenever anything like that happened. But in this case, it was also very peculiar. Because when Icelanders go missing abroad, you know, it may happen somewhere further away. But this feels a lot closer to home. Ireland feels like it should be safe.
Yeah.
And yet, here we are.
Yeah. Liam, I'm just going to ask you very quickly, what made you look into this case?
Oh, Laura, there was a few things. One, right, I've been to Iceland a few times. I had been before Jón ever came here. And they are a lovely people. They're just sound and they're very like ourselves. You know, they share a same sense of humour, good crack. They're a little wild. And I just really like Icelanders. So I guess when Jón went missing, he was my own age. And there was just something really odd about it.
Yeah.
So it just kind of stuck in my head. And then a couple of years later, I was in Iceland for a different work thing. I met Anna and I said to her, like, how much of a big deal was that story here? And do you think, you know, we could maybe consider working together on it? Because, like, I had tipped in and out of the story to see had any developments ever materialised.
Yeah.
And nothing ever changed or happened in the 5 years. So, you know, yeah, when we got together, Anna approached Jón's family. Mm. And then we just kind of started to go from there. That was about 18 months ago.
Liam was just saying there that about 18 months ago how he met you and he was just asking, was there any update on this story? And that you guys then just started to look into it again. This is all like, you know, it's fascinating to outsiders, like true crime stories, but the missing people have loved ones. Who did you speak to when you were putting together this story? Because that had to have been incredibly difficult.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the first one I got into contact with was Jón's brother, Davíð, who has almost acted as a spokesperson of sorts for the family.
Yeah.
And he then had to get the family together to see if this was something that they actually wanted to do. Mm. And as Liam likes to say, they actually ended up interviewing us before we interviewed them.
Oh, fair enough.
Because it's a big deal,
yeah.
You know, they are really putting themselves out there in order to get the best result for Jón, to get, you know, his case back in the limelight. And we pretty much had access to all of his family, a lot of his friends. Mm. And everybody is kind of working together on this.
Like, I suppose, Anna, as well, they needed to make sure that you guys were in it for the right reasons, because this is,
definitely,
you know, their brother, husband, son, who has just gone to Ireland, as you said, is a very safe, close country to Iceland. You never in a million years thought that something like this would happen. This is kind of like, this kind of podcast, this format is a fairly new thing in Iceland as well, Anna.
Oh, it's really new. Really new, you know, in terms of true crime podcasts. You know, we most commonly have people chatting, you know, talking about old stories, reading off Wikipedia, that kind of stuff. Or people remembering really old cases, if they're doing Icelandic cases, to be actively investigating something. That's, you know, I don't think that's ever happened before in Iceland. And that's something that we really couldn't be doing without RTE. And we're learning so much from them as we go, you know, as a very, very small, public medium.
I mean, we always feel really small here in comparison to the rest of the world. But I know you were saying there, like, you know, 400,000 in comparison to that. So it is great that we're able to, you know, like, communicate together and get this out there. Liam, John's family travelled to Dublin at the time of his disappearance, right? This was covered in the third episode. That only came out yesterday. How do they reflect on their experience here?
Yeah, I guess in mixed terms. So the first thing to say is they, like the Irish people in general, was so amazing to them. Mm. Like, they came over to Ireland. They didn't know a single person here. People opened their homes. They opened their hearts. Like, Jón's family, some members of them stayed, you know, some of the family stayed here for 3, 4, 5 months. And they stayed with people in their own homes. People who just walked off the street and said, look, I want to help. Come and stay with me. Like, amazing generosity. Like, the all the authorities then came into play in terms of the Gardaí. Like, I guess it was a kind of unfortunate confluence of circumstances in that Jón arrived here on his own. He didn't know anybody. So, and nobody knew him. And that's a big thing, because if any of us go missing, like, we have friends and family and people, colleagues at work, and straight away they'll say, look, this is a big deal. This is totally unusual behaviour. Yeah. Jón didn't have that. And so you had this kind of, you know, 24, 48, 72 hours slip by. And yes, his partner, Jana, went into the Garda station and said, look, he's gone missing. There's something really wrong. But she was really afraid. She was really scared. She kind of stayed in her bedroom.
Yeah.
So it was just all these things didn't quite go right for, you know, across the Jón's story, his case. But like yesterday's episode 3, there's a couple of like major breakthroughs, I guess, in terms of particularly this fact that the Gardaí discovered the CCTV from a bus, which pinpoints a 3-minute time period during which Jón disappeared. Like, and that's the first time any of that's come out into the public domain.
Oh my God.
So that's really, really significant. Because, of course, when you're looking for missing people, it's all about, it's like, you're trying to find the smallest of clues that could unlock something. And this exact moment that he goes missing, that tells us that he, or the Gardaí at least, told the family that they believe he got into a vehicle, or got into a car.
Okay.
And that means somebody knows something.
Liam, as well as that, right, the fact that he left his phone, his wallet in his room behind him, like, that seems a little bit unusual. Is there any, like, idea whether or not that's significant?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it shows that he didn't intend on going anywhere, and it showed that he intended on returning, because you don't leave those things that are kind of critical to your life. Like, don't forget, he literally landed into the country 24 hours beforehand.
Yeah.
He hadn't a clue where he was, really. He got into a taxi at the airport, got to the hotel. He didn't leave the hotel until the following morning. He walked out and he disappeared.
Yeah. Anna, when you were working on the case, right, this cold case had some big developments. Is that something that you hope for, or did you dread that as a program maker?
I mean, I think, of course, you hope for the big developments. Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think that's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
It's, it's complicated emotionally, because it does drag up things for the family again. And, you know, they're going through some of the same emotions that they went through initially now.
Mm.
But we do hope for big developments. We do hope, you know, to bring Jón home.
Yeah.
But I also think that one of the things that's important to the family is just to show everybody how things went down. And, you know, yesterday we had big news here in Iceland coming out of the third episode, talking about how the Irish Gardaí would not let the family have help for the civil defense. And which is really interesting for Icelanders, since, you know, as listeners will have heard, our civil defense, or actually just a high-ranking person within our search and rescue, contacted them himself immediately to help out. And yet it took diplomatic intervention from Iceland to bring the Irish or the Dublin civil defense on board for the family. And so, yeah, I think, you know, some of the things that are happening now with, you know, hoping for big developments, is that's one thing, and we do hope, but it's also just telling the story and getting it out there.
Yeah, and getting answers for Jón's family.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Liam, can you explain to us just in a little more detail what was the big 2024 development that happened that came out in the episode yesterday?
Yeah, so the 2024 development actually comes later. We touch on that in the one of the final episodes. But it did break in the news cycle here last year, in that there was a big search went on for Jón's remains, essentially. There was information handed into the Gardaí to suggest that he had been killed and buried. And the location given... the Gardaí, you know, from the information they got in those anonymous notes, they went digging, essentially searching in the Santry domain, which is just a couple of miles north, like, you know, say 25 minutes walk, something like that, about 3 kilometres north of the Bonnington Hotel. So, like, we go into that a lot of depth because, of course, we've been cooperating with both the Icelandic police and the Gardaí.
Yeah.
So we were behind the scenes at that cordon, and actually, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for listeners, but the search took place as a result of some of the work we were doing in the podcast.
Okay. Liam, why did you begin the series 48 hours after Jón went missing? Like, that just seems very, very quick.
Sorry, go again, Laura?
I said, why did you just begin the series 48 hours before Jón went missing?
Well, I guess 48 hours before and 48 hours after are the critical time periods in all missing persons cases throughout the world. So the 48 hours before, they kind of give you identifiers. What was the mood of the person? What was their humour? What were they talking about? How did they look? How did they walk? Like, what was their general demeanour? And more often than not, there are clues there. You know, they'll have said something to somebody, maybe to a family member, maybe to a loved one, and it'll indicate their kind of frame of mind. And that in turn then might give you some clues as to what happened to them. So, like, why we start out the whole series with the 48 hours beforehand is because of the immediacy to the moment Jón went missing.
Yeah.
And then as we move through the series, essentially in episode 2, you get to know Jón. So you get to know his whole backstory from the moment he was born, right up to, you know, essentially when he came to Ireland. And then, yeah, that's how we build the story. So, I mean, in these stories, of course, it's a true crime story. That is what it is by its nature. But it's more than that. It's the story of a man, his life, his family's experience. Because, like, the minute Jón went missing, his mum, his dad, his children, his partners, his siblings, none of them were, like, their identity changed forever. So they were no longer like David, for instance. It was David's brother of Jón.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's missing. So everything in your life is defined then by your brother's or father's, whatever it is, absence.
And like, having all of these unanswered questions too. Like, I mean, my heart just breaks with them. They're all I'm thinking about throughout all this the whole time, because they've lost someone. Anna, I just want to ask you, like, very quickly before we have to wrap up. Jón was in Dublin for a poker tournament. How much weight is that being given in the investigation?
I think originally that was giving a lot of weight. Yeah. I think he was, you know, really looked at as this one-dimensional human being. And then in our investigation, we, of course, talking to his family, try and paint a more 3D picture, I guess.
And I do think
the Gardaí see it the same way now, even if maybe that was not the case in the beginning.
Yeah, that it is now. Liam and Anna, thank you so much for telling us all about Jón.
Can I just say one thing, Laura? So it's really clear to the Gardaí, to Icelandic police and to ourselves that somebody does know something. Mm-hmm. Somebody knows what happens to Jon. And that somebody, that information is in Dublin and it's in Iceland. So if anyone is listening and they do happen to know something, even if they feel it's totally inconsequential, if it's something they overheard, whatever, please go to your Garda station. Feel free to email us, documentaries@rte.ie. If you go on the Where Is Jon website, there's an anonymous tip box where you can leave information without any identifying factors. But if you know something, please tell somebody.
Yeah, you need to remember that this is somebody that we're talking about, and their friends and family, the same way that if it was in your life, are left wondering and they're left with this hole in their lives that can't be replaced. But if you have information, to do come forward. Liam, thank you so much for that. Anna, thank you so much for joining us as well this morning. There are new episodes out each Monday. Where can people find them, lads?
Basically anywhere you find your podcast. Yep. They're on the RT radio player, they're on the YouTube, they're also airing on Radio 1, so they're anywhere. Just look for Where Is Jon.
Where Is Jon, spelled J-O-N, just in case anybody is looking for it. Guys, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's amazing work, and I'm sure everybody is looking forward to the next episode coming out, and hopefully some answers coming out of this.
Thanks so much, Laura.
No probs, we'll chat to you again later. Thanks a million.
With Laura Fox Podcast.